In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel reading begins with a very striking scene. It says, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as saith the Scriptures, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, by which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Because that Jesus was not yet glorified." The last day of the feast that's referenced when you actually read this gospel is the Feast of Booths. It was a seven-day feast, one of the three feasts that Moses commanded the Israelites, if it was possible, to be present, to come as pilgrims to wherever God would make his name to dwell, which, of course, eventually became Jerusalem, where the temple was built. This feast was one of the most popular feasts. There was a procession every morning that occurred on the occasion of this feast. It was called the pouring of the water. They would go down to the pool of Siloam, which was in the city of David, and then they would have a procession all the way back up to the temple. And there was a great deal of joy because when they went into the temple, they prayed for God's blessing on the people and also that God would give them seasonable rains in the coming year. And this was a particularly joyous occasion, and it's probably this occasion that Isaiah was alluding to when he said in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." In the evening during the Feast of the Booths, the people would sit in the outer courtyard of the temple. There would be tens of thousands of people who would be present that would be gathered to watch. And they would have dancing and singing all through the night. And then in the morning, they would be there ready to watch that ceremony at the beginning of each morning until the feast was over. In the Mishnah, which records a lot of the traditions that go back to before the temple was destroyed, it says, "He who has not seen the rejoicing at the place of the water drawing has never seen rejoicing in his life." This was the biggest, most joyous occasion of the year, according to Jewish tradition. And so on this day, the last day that this occurs, where so many people were present from all over the land, Christ stood up and he said these words, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Keep in mind, these people were mostly farmers. They lived in a very arid land, and so water was a very precious resource. And so that's one of the reasons why it was so important for them to pray that God would bless them with rain throughout the year. And so Christ, in the middle of this occasion, speaking out would have been like a thunderclap to these people. It would have been something that no one would have missed. And what is he saying? Well, first of all, he's saying that I'm not going to force anyone to receive this water. He's saying, "Come unto me." The other thing is he's appealing to a need that they had, because as I said, water was very important, and people very often did thirst. As a matter of fact, during the Feast of Booths, where people were basically camping out along the countryside around Jerusalem in these little booths that they would make, probably a lot of them had to do without water because they weren't in their usual location. So even getting water to drink would have been something that wouldn't have been easy to do. So these people would have certainly been paying attention when he talked about thirsting and having that thirst satisfied. It also calls to mind what he said to the Samaritan woman. "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again," referring to the water that was in the well, "but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The Holy Spirit's actions are sometimes spoken in terms of water and sometimes in terms of fire. When the Holy Spirit is referred to with imagery of water, it talks about how the Holy Spirit gives us life, quenches our thirst, satisfies us, and also cleanses us. But when the Holy Spirit is spoken of as fire, it's referring to the cleansing properties of fire, and also to the fact that fire can destroy things, and in the spiritual life, it would be to destroy the sins that have grown up in our lives. And of course, fire also gives light and heat and warmth. "Out of the belly means out of the heart," St. John Chrysostom says. St. Seraphim of Sarov says, "Acquire the spirit of peace and 1,000 souls around you will be saved." And so when he talks about this water flowing out of your bellies or out of your heart, by interpretation, that's what that's referring to. If you have the spirit of peace, People around you will be saved. It will not just stop with you, but it will reach those that are around you. Man was created to be in constant communion with God, but after the fall, this communion was broken. And the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was only given to a few. We read last night in one of the Old Testament readings about how Moses had selected 70 elders to be judges over the people, but there were two people who were close to the tent of testimony, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and so someone came running saying, look, these people who are not authorized are also prophesying. And so it says, so Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. So this was the hope of the Old Testament, that the day would come when the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all. And we also heard in the prophecy from the prophet Joel last night about that promise. And you find that promise elsewhere among the prophets, that the day would come when the Holy Spirit would be poured out. In the gospel reading that we read last night, in which Christ appeared to his apostles after his resurrection in the upper room, we're told that he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And the imagery there of him breathing on his apostles was that he was recreating that spiritual life that was once in Adam but was lost in the fall. He breathed new life into his apostles, and through those apostles, he breathed new life into the church. And it was on this day that the Holy Spirit came to his apostles into the church in its fullness. In the prophecy of Ezekiel we read last night, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Are you thirsty? We all strive to be closer to God. We desire to be near him, to have his holiness, but many times we feel like we can't do it. But in our own strength, we can't. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, which Christ offers to us today, we can. The cleansing power of the Holy Spirit is offered to us by Christ today. And if we will receive that, God will create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us if we'll just ask and receive. O heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere present and fillest all things, treasury of good things and giver of life, come and dwell in us and cleanse us of all impurity and save our souls, O good one. Amen.